So, Jay, explain the yeet to us old fogies.
Well, as I mentioned, I have a couple of teenagers. Although, very interestingly enough, one of my coworkers has younger kids. I think they're like junior high, no, middle school aged. And there's a fierce battle over the past principle of yeet. My kids swear that it is one has yeeted something.
They
one has yoked.
Oh.
There's a schism in the etymology of yeet. Yeet is basically like an all-purpose word, most often used in the context of, you know, hey, Jim asked for a soda, so I yeeted one to him. Or that guy had a interesting hat, so I yeeted it from him.
Okay.
It implies that
I would like to know the origin of yeet. Like, what was the origin?
Good luck.
I'm on UrbanDictionary.com.
Ah, okay.
Urban Dictionary says the past is yote.
Okay, so apparently
I have yacht.
Yeah.
I was yeeting.
What the hell?
He yeeted. Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry, I poured myself a large glass of very delicious rum. So this evening's
rum. Wow. Okay.
I have rum tonight. I just felt like rum.
Well, the Daily Dot.
That's exactly where I am.
Oh, all right. Way back in 2008.
Wow. What?
Okay.
I don't think so.
Now, see, I will disagree with Dot because used to express excitement, it is Y-E-A-T. It is a homophone.
What the hell?
Well, dictionary.com, which is, you know, kind of like a source. Kind of. It says that the term spreads as a dance in Black social media culture in February 2014. It's a dance? And then, wait.
Yeah,
exactly. Several people are credited, blah, blah, blah. Yeet.
Oh.
The yeet was a dance, and then
they give examples on the Daily Dot. Yeet the ball field.
Yeah. I don't know.
If this dude in my marketing class doesn't shut the fuck up, I will yeet my laptop at his face. See, it generally implies an action involving an object, which describes most of human interactions, but
I am Groot.
Object of throwing something at someone or having something thrown at you. Hence,
you know,
why one
refer to a... Our language evolved and became very complex such that you could describe specific things in great detail.
Well, doesn't...
And these kids are just devolving the shit out of it.
It says, perhaps because people often say yeet while doing the dance, yeet was further popularized as an interjection all its own to show enthusiasm and approval, blah, blah, blah. And then, so it started out with a dance on YouTube, a Black culture dance.
Like the...
I feel like one of those, you know what I feel like? I feel like that meme that, hello, fellow kids. I feel like that.
Because
I don't understand it at all.
We have sucked all the young out of yeet.
Yes.
Yeet has jumped the shark. Kids, wow. Ask what that means.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. Okay. So yeet. But yeet has been all over the social media this week, kind of. And I have been like, what is going on? And why are people talking about it? Jay?
So, well, there was a firearm company that in a what was it? Who was it? Was it London that had the water taxi they wanted to name? So they asked the
It was an exploration ship.
That's right.
Graphic ship, and they left it to the internet to name.
It was an ocean-going vessel. It was a seaworthy vessel. And they asked the internet what it should be named. Kids, don't ever ask the internet what it should be named. Because, Alan, you remember what the overwhelming winning name was, right?
Yeah, it was Bodie McBoatface.
So, with this knowledge, this gun company, it's High Point Firearms. They introduced a brand new firearm in over 25 years of being in business. They've never had a double stack. They just introduced one. It's kind of a big deal for the company. And they asked the internet to name it. When they were reminded what happens when they ask the internet to name things, they said, hey, we're High Point. What can they do? So, the number one name given was the YC-9, standing for Yeet Cannon.
Oh, my God.
And it is amazingly brilliant bit of social media marketing. Because there are folks talking about High Point who never in a million years would have said anything.
Other than, ouch, my thumb.
Yeah. How did you know?
Damn, that hurt my finger.
You know, and it's exactly how one does marketing correctly. Because you're in a position where getting people talking about your product is the number one thing. And that is exactly what happened. Everyone in the community was talking about the High Point, their new firearm, the name. It's genius. It is absolute genius.
So did they name it that, or did they come up, or did they do something else?
They had a bunch of names that the marketing department came up with. So basically they're going to have a, if you will, a yeet off, where they put up their names against the internet selected names and let people vote. Where it goes from there, I don't know. I would imagine
Don't let the internet name your shit, people.
Say they will, because it's genius, and you will get more people complaining. But they got H&K in on the deal. They got Sky Firearms in on the deal. They got all kinds of people.
And somebody already making an aftermarket slide with like Yeet Cannon on the side.
That's Sky, SCCY. Okay. They're offering a slide with Yeet Cannon, as you know. It is just, it was a brilliant move on High Point's part, and the companies that joined in, it was a smart move. But it's absolutely fascinating at how quickly these sorts of things go thermonuclear hot, and then, oh my God, I can't believe you're still talking about that.
Social media.
Exactly. There's a sociology PhD in the study of this. It really is, in just how, if you could ever measure from start to finish, from when this first started to be a thing.
I bet they could. Somebody working at Facebook probably could do it.
You know, at what point does the coverage tip from 50%, you know, more, less than 50% favorable? Yeah, I'll guarantee you can get a window. Okay, and I'm going to say right now, if somebody does this, I want to call the Grazio window, damn it. I thought of it first. I probably didn't. I'm sure 900 million other people who are smarter than me all thought of it, but there's a window during which something is popular and trending, and you got to catch it in the middle of that window. You're too soon, nobody cares. And afterwards, you're bandwagoning. If you could develop an algorithm to predict that, you would make money like Jeff Bezos.
I bet Google already does that. That seems like something they'd do.
I don't know.
Track words and stuff.
I mean, I'm sure they can track the words, but you know, how do you pick out that they're talking? They're saying, "I can't believe you're still talking." They're in the "I can't believe they're still talking about that" phase. You know what I mean? The "oh, that was so 20 minutes ago" phase. If you can figure out how to pinpoint that, you got something. There's nothing else going on in the world, though, is there?
No, nothing at all.
I
don't know if you can talk about this or not, but that shooting in Dallas.
The shooting in
with the derpy guy that dressed up in Mall Ninja wear and went to go shoot up the federal building. Went diddy bopping down the sidewalk and was like, oh my God, look, there's people ready to shoot me.
Other than, you know, that's probably the single best outcome that could have been.
I'm bringing it up because I keep seeing memes of this guy for like, right. I didn't see the story when it happened in the news. And I kept seeing like memes of the same guy over and over on my Facebook feed. I'm like, who is this guy? And why do they keep showing him? And what is going on? And I really honestly thought it was like some, like a still from a show, a TV show of like some dumbass guy who tried to do like some sort of like Mall Ninja bullshit. You know, it turns out it was real. But like, more I hear about the story, I'm like, what did he think was going to happen? Like, he puts on his gear, gets his little gun, his little face mask, goes up to a federal building. What was the plan there? Like, what did he think was going to happen?
Here you go. He immediately got yeeted.
He got yeeted with extreme prejudice.
Yeah. He was yoked.
Yeah. Okay. And this is the moment where Yeet has jumped the shark. If anybody wanted to know.
Yep. Exactly.
This is the moment.
Oh God!
And
we're those people sitting around in 1996 going, well, so tell me about this internet thing.
Oh boy!
I'm a speed bump on the information superhighway. it's tough to really say all that much, you know. I mean, my heart goes out to the law enforcement officer that had to take that shot because,
yeah,
you know, when all was said and done, they still had to make that decision to use deadly force, and that's got to weigh on them. And that's the person I feel most sorry for. The person in question, they made a conscious effort. Hey, I'm going to go out and make a name for myself. And, you know, the way it turned out, it's like, bravo, you are now ridiculed. I hope and I pray that all of the marginalized losers out there who had been thinking about, you know what, my life sucks and I'm going to be famous by going out in a blaze, they look at that and they're like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. That's what I'm going to do. You know,
I'm going to see a therapist.
Yeah, you know what, I don't end up that guy.
Yeah,
because
it's interesting though, because you gotta wonder, like, are the memes that are just brutally mocking this guy, will they have some sort of like impact? Because, you know, they're not famous like the, you know, he's not gonna be famous like the, you know, the Columbine kids or the, you know, whomever.
His name will come up as a ha ha, what a loser.
Yeah. I mean, somebody, you know, a year from now will plug in his name to Google and hit Google images. And the first thing that will come up is, you know, memes that are mocking the hell out of him. And you kind of wonder, will it have some effect? I hope so.
I hope so. Exactly.
You know, that's a good use of social media. And you know, they've said for a long time with like mass shooters like that, or, you know, I don't even know if this guy shot anybody, but he wanted to.
Right.
But
trying.
You know, for the longest time they've been saying, oh, don't put their names in the media, don't make them famous, blah blah blah. But like, you know, mockery is one of the best tools to bring down, you know. So anyway, that was, those were my thoughts. But yeah, I just kept on seeing the same guy over and over, and I'm like, who's this guy?
He looked exactly like you would picture at nature to look, you know.
I know.
He's like one of those like millennial soy boy guys who's like cosplaying you know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get all ninja'd up and I'm gonna go attack the federal building, you know, and with no common sense or knowledge of reality or anything.
To tie in the last week's show, you ready for this? He's kind of the anti Marvin Heemeyer. Marvin Heemeyer had a plan and he executed his plan to the best of his abilities. This dude, he was like an alien operating a human suit. And it's like, okay, we're going to spin this wheel and we're going to do whatever action comes up. And it landed on mass shooting. So like, okay, I need a rifle and a whole bunch of those things. They're called magazines. That's what it is. And I need the mask thingy over my face. And oh, some boots. And the thing you put around the rifle to carry it, that thing. And tried to put them together, but did it in the dark. And he got out. And, you know, I think he did get a couple of rounds off. Didn't hit anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hit something because they land somewhere, but he didn't injure anybody. And apparently on duty law enforcement stopped him before he could hurt anyone else, which again, that's a favorable outcome.
Yeah.
But it would be hard to imagine someone doing things more wrongly. the picture, and by the way, props go out. That was a reporter who just happened to be there right as it went down, who got that picture, kind of like ducked down, stuck his camera around a building.
Oh, yeah, the reporter just happened to be there. And,
yeah.
And saw this guy coming up and started taking pictures.
And you look and it's like his shoes are untied, the sling broke off his rifle, he's holding the forend and a magazine in his hand. It's like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm glad he was grossly incompetent. And I'm glad that he's being mocked. And there's kind of a mini debate about, you know, he is still a human being and he still did lose his life. Shouldn't celebrate that. And I choose to think I'm celebrating that he did not take any innocent people with him. That he made his decision, and he had his demons, and he wrestled them, and he lost. And that's sad. It's too bad he didn't get help. It's too bad he didn't think things through. It's too bad he forced someone to have to use deadly force. That's horrible and unfortunate. But in the grand scheme of things, I do think that this will become a greater net good. Because
it wasn't a gun-free zone.
Bingo.
I mean, it was a civilian gun-free zone, but there was plenty of armed federal guys there, employees. That
it was not a soft target,
right?
And that's, you know, that kind of bolsters what we've all been saying, is if you have useful armed security, not like the coward of Broward,
right,
you stop these things, and you stop them before a lot of people get hurt. And that's the way to handle these. That's how you do it.
Yep. So, you think Trump's going to go all Obama on Iran?
What, give them millions of dollars so that their nuclear power program works?
No, I mean like, you know, drone strikes.
I don't think so. I think he's going to just drop James Madison with a case and say, James, they're all yours. Iran is your crayon.
I can't see him doing I can't see him doing the standoff drone strike thing. That's just, that's not his
way. It's not bigly enough.
Yeah.
And Iran is like, what the hell is going on with Iran? Because they're just like, look at us. Oh, that act of war wasn't big enough. Why, here's another one. It's like, did you not see what we did to Iraq, who kicked the shit out of you 30 years ago? We took them apart in weeks.
Yeah, they don't. They think they can.
This is the little yippy dog at the end of.
Yes.
You gotta look at it. They're not playing to us. They're playing to their own people. Right. Their own people are on the verge of another revolution in Iran.
Rightly so.
They are sick and tired of that, you know, the bullshit, and they're ready to revolt. And what's the best way to stop a revolt?
You start a war.
Right.
Big problem is if we start sending in targeted strikes and we destroy their army and they can't oppress the people anymore.
Well, yeah, but they don't care about that.
They're not thinking that far ahead.
They just care about retaining power, and they'll either retain power or die. And it, you know, I mean, they're like, the last thing they want is for the people to overthrow them.
I personally got to go in and yeet all their oil. I'm just going to use yeet as much as I can.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Now that the United States is a net exporter of oil, all we have to do is close the Straits of Hormuz, and Iran is choked off. And by the way, so is China.
Your ocean-going privileges have been revoked.
Yeah. I mean, all we have to do is just blockade the straits there, not let anything through, and we get a double whammy. We kill off, you know, Iran, and we kill off China, because all their oil comes from, you know.
It would not surprise me to see Trump pull some of the old, you know, destroyers out of mothballs. Just for like the sheer, you know, you are so little of a threat. We pulled out some 1950s warships.
Here's some Swift boats. Let's go. Swift boats with a couple of 50s. You know,
they're gearing up the USS Constitution. They're like, oh, fuck you, old school.
Did it once before. We'll do it again.
That's right. Barbary pirates my ass.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be hysterical.
Yeah.
Show up with the USS Constitution and fire a few volleys. The same Cambridge. We can use live rounds. Oh, yeah. Of course, with the sun going into the Navy, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, but the Constitution doesn't have aircraft, so he's
good. Very good point. You know, pull the nimitz.
How long now before he goes in?
Sunday.
A week? 2 weeks? Oh, Sunday. Oh, my God.
Sunday.
Are you having like a thing? Are you having a party?
Are you going to sing in the Navy?
it's been nonstop, Alan.
Nice.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it's, you know, we've been. I got him. We got a passport application in case he weren't. And he got his banking switched over to Navy Federal Credit Union. So there's always a source of cash.
That's good. We're
trying to prepare as best we can. We really just don't know what the hell it's all about, but we're trying to figure it out. You know, and of course, the big thing is he's got one of the longer rates for A school is like where you go after you graduate boot camp. It's the training to go into whatever particular job you're going to be doing. Forgive me, Alan, you probably have some idea of what this is, but although the Marines is all infantry, isn't it? It's like there you go.
No,
the guys that can identify the helicopter with more than a become pilots and whatnot, but everyone else just you know, Leave a trail of crayons on the ground and send you on your way. But anyway, his rate for air traffic control is like 20 weeks. It's one of the longer ones. And it's
one would hope.
You would, exactly. Well, he will spend his entire first deployment, his entire first hitch with the Navy, his first 4 years, will be studying and learning, and he will not be left unattended.
That good. First,
he has to. Oh yeah,
they're letting him get away with a 4-year enlistment for all that.
I think it's actually 5, but
I would expect 6, but.
Well, it is what it is. You score high on the ASFABs, they make exceptions, I guess. But, so he's got 8 weeks in boot camp. So the end of August, he'll be graduating from boot camp. We'll be driving out to Chicago.
8 weeks?
8 weeks, yep.
Good Lord.
That's right. Marines was what? 7 years?
Three months is the Marine Corps.
Well, you have to learn to identify which flavors of crayon are okay and which are poisonous.
Well, that is hard.
Don't eat the nightshade color. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. I've never understood the inter. The Army versus the Navy versus the Marines, and the Air. Nobody likes the Air Force, apparently.
Nobody likes the Air Force.
Everybody,
I don't get it.
It's you're all part of the same family. It's interesting. I kind of had an idea with the different magazines in the publications family. It's like we make fun of each other all the time, but it's like we will band together, to go up against, like Guns and Ammo. Like, blah, 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 blah. So it's an analogous situation. It's certainly not the same, but
it's all tribalism.
Yeah. And basically, everyone knows the Marines are the most badass, and the Air Force is the most, fragile. Navy's kind of, the big reason my son chose the Navy because his grandfather and a bunch of his uncles were in the Navy, but basically they have the widest variety of jobs that you can do because there's plane.
That's true. They have everything. Exactly.
There's boats, there's ships, there's subs.
Nuclear engineering, aircraft maintenance, ship handling, logistics. The Navy literally does everything.
Right. And that's, the Army's the largest, but it's still, they don't quite have the depth. There's not a lot. I don't think the Army has air bases. I know they have a lot of rotating wing. They have a lot of helicopters, but
yeah, they have helicopters. They don't get fixed wing. That's all Air Force, Navy, and Marine.
So he's got 20 weeks in A school down in Pensacola, Florida.
Wait till the Space Force starts up.
That's right. In line for the Space Force. You could be directing space shuttles land. It's not like this. It's not like the capsules. That must have been so easy, directing the capsules. You're like, okay, splash down in that random bit of ocean. There you go.
Yeah.
Plus, you might find a genie. Come on.
Yeah, the shuttle was lame. It was really stupid.
It was like UPS in space.
It wasn't even that. It was just awful. It was like everything wrong with NASA and everything wrong with the government space.
Exactly. There wasn't enough Muslim outreach.
Yeah, that's what it was.
For those getting the joke, that was a stated goal of NASA during the previous presidential administration.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Muslim
outreach.
Oh.
Because that's exactly what the National Air and Space Administration will be focusing.
Wow.
Well, speaking of
even for Obama, that's pretty stunning. Okay.
You want to talk?
I'm sure I shouldn't. Do I want to talk about my what?
Your adventure.
My adventure today.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, it was okay. I had to renew my driver's license, and I decided to go ahead and get the real ID, What is it called?
The real ID.
What's it? The real ID. I can't remember the name of it. What's it called?
Secure.
Compliant. Compliant ID.
The one with the gold star.
The one with the gold star. Yeah. I decided to go ahead and get that done because, God, it's so irritating to me. Like, the real ID, people even, it has been in the works since 2005?
Probably before then.
I don't know, but.
Come out of nowhere.
No, but it's like for 15 years. Yeah, 2005, because in 2020, everybody's going to have one of these IDs. That's when it like fully goes into effect and you have to have it and it's required by 2020. So it's been 15 years. This, you know, they're trying to get the states on board and trying to get, you know, everybody, I guess it takes 15 years for everybody to get their shit together. You know, the bureaucratic blah-de-blah, you know, at the DMVs trying to get everything straightened with every state. And so, these real IDs, these compliant IDs, they require more like personal identification. So you go, you know, everybody's renewed their driver's license, right? So you go in, you have your driver's license, you have your thing and you give it to them and they test your eyes and you sign the form and bingo, bang, you get a new ID, right?
Yep.
Not anymore. At least not for me. I don't know. Today I went and, well, I spent, my birthday was on the 5th. So my license has been expired for a couple of weeks, but, and it has taken me like a bunch of time to like find all my documents because I'm shitty at adulting apparently. And I didn't have them in a box altogether. So, and I had, you know, I had to have my birth certificate, my driver's license, my social security card, my marriage license, because I changed my name when I got married. So they're, one of the things they're tracking is name changes. So, you know, my birth certificate has a certain name. My marriage license has another name. So I had to like prove documentation for that. And then I needed two forms of proof of address. And I was thrilled to be able to use my CCW for that. Like, finally, I get to use it for something. But the thing with these real IDs is that if you don't have one, you can't fly within the country, within your own country.
Right.
Which, to me, is just baffling. It is the thing that is just kind of like irritating me the most, that you, if you don't have a compliant ID, one of these real IDs, if you want to fly within your own country, you need a passport, which is more expensive than getting one of these compliant IDs. So yeah,
it's more.
I don't have my passport, but I feel like I need to get one.
You don't have
here.
I don't have a passport.
Haven't you been to Ireland, Brina?
Yeah, but that was like years ago.
They expire so after it
has
10 years.
It has been, yeah, it expires after 10 years. I haven't been out of, you know, I haven't been overseas in, you know, 10 years. So anyway, so the idea that you want to travel with in your own country and you need to produce a passport. If you don't have one of these IDs. And the thing that is just, it just astonishes me that there's not more outrage or uproar about this, where no one is saying, what the fuck? Like, I need to do what to fly within my own country? I'm not even leaving the country and I'm a citizen. And it's bizarre to me that it's not in the news. I mean, you talk to people that, well, haven't had to renew their, well, just today I posted something about it on Facebook and my friend who is, you know, same age as me. And she actually, today is her birthday. She needs to get her license renewed. And I said, well, you know, and she didn't know anything at all about this real ID. And I hear over and over stories Yeah, I hear stories from people in the library. They're like, oh, yeah, I got to go get my license renewed. But I tried to do it once and they sent me away and I have to get all these papers and blah, blah, blah. And this is the first time I heard about it because some patron at the library mentioned it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I knew nothing about it. And I looked it up and sure enough, real ID.
That's why nobody's outraged, because nobody knows about it. They frog boiled it in, you know. It was gradually, state by state, and little bit by little bit. They didn't do it all at once nationwide, so everybody could get upset about it all at once. They've dribbled it in, and you know, now it's done.
Well, let me throw in a little bit of tinfoil hat stuff. Maybe they're not mentioning it. They're not making a big deal about it because they don't want to point out how various sanctuary cities and all that bullshit has made your driver's license useless as a means of ID.
Some of them.
Exactly. So when you really need to establish, holy shit, we need to know that this person is not a terrorist. Okay, just look at, you use their driver's license. Well, the problem is they've been issuing them like fucking Tic Tacs to illegals who use any name they feel like, checked or vetted. So we need to make sure they're who they are. You know, all of this should have been handled at the state level for your driver's license.
As but it was forever.
Exactly, but they haven't.
Because the driver's license was just a driver's license, and then it became an ID, and then it became proof of who you are. Now it's your internal fucking passport to the U.S. And when I was a kid, I'm going to go into rant mode. When I was a kid, one of the things they used to point to in the Soviet Union about how awful it was and how repressive it was, and how miserable it was they had internal passports and you couldn't travel without your passport. That's how they controlled people. You couldn't go from one city to another city in the Soviet Union without your passport and a goddamn good reason to do it.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, well, yeah, they're not free. They need a passport to travel. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That means we're not free anymore, George Bush.
Yeah.
It seems like insanity to me. And it seems, you know, getting the thing done was not a big hassle. I mean, it was just pretty a standard, you know, hand them your documentation. They check everything. You do the eye test. They take your picture. Bingo, bangos. It was pretty much the same. And the wait wasn't very long, but it was just I don't know. And she, the girl who helped me, she was acting like, you know, she really wanted her P's and Q's. Like, she's like, you know, the state of Ohio is really cracking down on us and we have to, you know, have everything right. And they're very specific. And because there was some sort of like question about my name. When I got married, I dropped my middle name and I'm using my maiden name as my middle name. So, you know.
That's what my wife did.
Yeah. There's some, if you don't have the kind of, you know, she was concerned I didn't have the correct documentation for that name change. And she was like really nervous about it. And she had to call over a manager and, you know, it turned out it was fine. And, but it just, I don't know. And you don't hear people, you know, talking about it. So doesn't that go out with a bang, but a whimper? You know, is that it?
That's how it works.
Right.
To quote the British philosopher Roger Waters, the species has amused itself to death.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was. You know, one of the things that, you know, for a long time in the United States, one of the things that kept totalitarianism at bay, even though they really wanted it here, they wanted it here bad. Ever since Wilson, you know, when the progressives came to power in the early 1900s, they wanted it bad. And one of the things that kept it away was how awful all the actual totalitarian states were. You know, you could point to them. The Soviet Union was awful, and they were the bad guy. They were the example of what not to do. And if you were free and democratic, you couldn't do anything that the Soviets were doing, because anything the Soviets were doing was bad. And so that kept a lot of that crap, you know, from gaining traction, because anytime they started up, it's like, well, this is what the Russians are doing. We can't do that here. And now that they're not here anymore, now that there are no, the bad guys are all like religious nutcases, right? So there's literally nothing you can do that anybody can point to and go, you know, other than, you know, strapping on a vest and blowing people up. I mean, you can point to that and go, well, yeah, that's bad. Don't do that. But, you know, but there's nothing they do that we can point to and go, you know, oh yeah, that's awful. So this country and its elites are free to, you know, become the despots they always wanted to be, because we don't have anybody to, you know, there ain't nobody else.
You.
No, I mean, nobody that matters. I mean, you got North Korea and China, but I mean, shit, look at, you know, I mean, everybody that thinks China is this big, big, awful, scary thing, you know, look what happened when Trump threatened tariffs, you know, practically rolled over. So, and their economy's in the middle of crashing. So, anyway.
So anyway,
in other
happy fun news.
What?
Talking about totalitarianism and concentration camps, shall we say.
Oh boy.
Is our very favoriteest junior congresswoman.
Oh my god.
Joe Ocasio-Cortez, who is doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on, we've got concentration camps at the border. Because, you know, detaining people who have broken the law by coming into the country illegally is exactly the same as herding an ethnicity into a place to be slaughtered wholesale. That's they're exactly the same. There's no difference.
Well, yeah, according to her.
My favorite part of this is that she did research about this, and she discovered an academic consensus about these being concentration camps. But her source was Esquire magazine, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is like a men's fashion magazine.
Well,
yeah. Bless her heart. Her lipstick is great though.
It's on fleek.
On fleek. She's got the lipstick down.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. They keep conflating illegal and legal immigrants.
Yeah,
they keep ignoring the fact that these people have already broken the law. You know, and the part of the problem is, you know, they arrest them, they catch them, they immediately go, I want asylum, because that's what they've been taught to say.
Right.
And what they do is they go, okay, well, your asylum hearing's in 2 months. Come back then. And they let them go. Well, what the hell? You know, you got right. Somebody.
And what percentage of them return for their...
Zero.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like this game they play down on the border. I don't understand why, you know, they catch them. They put them in a they put them in a van of some sort because they caught them, right? They got to drive them to the wherever the fuck it is they're detaining them. How about they just take them to the border and unload them? They already got them there. They're already in a van. Drive them to the border. Say, escort them. Go. There you go. There's your home. Hop to it.
I think one of the, for AOC, I think one of the things is they're separating children from their families. And I'm using air quotes because it's not quite proven that these children are with their families at all.
Oh, it's been proven and they're not.
Well, some of them, I mean, I'm sure some of them are, but for the most part, you know, I don't know the percentages, but a lot of the children are, it's human trafficking.
Yeah. A lot of them are rent-a-kids.
Rent-a-kids, because if you have a kid, you get in. So, yeah. You know, so they're taking these children and they're housing these children in what used to be one of the Japanese internment camps, right?
It's a base where there was an internment camp.
Correct. But the media is showing it to be they're putting these kids in the Japanese internment camps.
Except they're not.
And it's a military base, and that has been functioning the entire time. Right. It's just a military base.
Right. The actual,
right. But that's not how the media is. Yeah.
The actual Japanese camp hasn't been there since the end of World War II.
Right. Of course not. Because we don't lock up Japanese people anymore. Yeah. But, you know, it's like.
But they
the
weren't.
Media is spinning it to be like, oh, Japanese internment camps, and they're putting their children, the children in there, and they're all, you know, and that's why AOC is like all spun up about this. Because,
those kids,
oh, no, you know, the
in that camp are living better than they've ever lived in their lives.
Of course right. They are. Sure. But that was like the source of this whole AOC thing. Oh, it's concentration camps. And, you know, the kids are all locked up and they're separated from her families. There was a video I saw of her before she was even, I think before she was even elected, visiting one of these, you know, standing at the fence of one of these camps or one of these, you know, what are they called? I don't know. I don't know what they're calling them now. Whatever. One of these military bases where they're holding people. And she's, you know, doing one of those liberal, you know how they chant like no justice, no peace. And she was like, you know, free the children. You know, she had a bunch of her cronies with her and
hands up, don't shoot. Oh
yeah. That stuff, you know how they like to chant stuff. So she was out there chanting, you know, at the fence of this thing, trying to make a point, which, you know, the point is you're stupid, but, yeah, so that was like the whole thing. But she has come out saying that these are concentration camps. And the big hubbub is because she used the words never again. But then she backtracked. Like she, what is the term they use in the South, Alan?
Crawfish.
You crawfish. She crawfished. Right? And she's like, oh, no, I was not referencing the Holocaust. You say never again, and yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, but even using concentration camps and referring to the Japanese internment, which, again, let's bring out the fact that these were not Japanese people interned in the camps. These were American citizens of Japanese.
Right.
That's like if we were at war with Italy, if they hauled me off to a camp.
Right.
Well, if we were at war with Italy, you belong in a camp.
No, because the Italians can't fight. Come on. Oh, come on. You know, just.
Well, but you know that brings up part of the one of the problems with the United States. You know, is this melting pot fiction that, you know, hasn't existed ever. You know, these people, everybody comes from a country where they're the people. Right? The Irish come from Ireland where they're all Irish. The Italians came from Italy where they're all Italians. you know, the Chinese came from China where they're all Chinese. The Vietnamese came from Vietnam where they're all Vietnamese. You know, everybody comes from a country where they're all the one that's there. Mm-hmm. And then they come to the U.S. and it ain't that way. But because of the glories of the Democrat interest group politics, instead of people, you know, ignoring all that shit, it's just one lever, you know, to keep people all stirred up. So, you know, you can't, you know, if you're a black man who's a conservative, you're not a real black man. You're Uncle Tom. You're whatever, you know. If you're a lesbian who likes guns, you're not a real lesbian. You know, if you're a tranny Trump supporter, you're not, you know, you're a gender traitor or something. You know, it's like this fiction. So this, you know, when they interned the Japanese Americans, that was like the proof that the melting pot story is a lie and has always been a lie. Because if the melting pot story was true, they would have never thought to intern the Japanese Americans, because right, they would have just been Americans.
Did they never put Germans in camps?
Yeah, they did some of them.
Did they? Did they? Some of but them. Not like.
Not like not, they did with the Japanese. No.
Probably because the Japanese are more recognizable because they're, you know, racist. Right.
How do you tell a German from an Italian, from a Irishman, you know? I mean, how do you, you know, unless he says, yeah, I'm from, you know, my parents are from Germany. How you do, you know, you can't tell.
Yeah.
But a Japanese American, heck, you know, I'm sure they even got some Chinese and Korean Americans too.
Yeah. Just,
you know, yeah, they all like the same, whatever.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah. Chinese, Japanese, oh, what that? They're all, you know, yeah. Meanwhile, the Chinese are glaring at the Japanese. Japanese are glaring back. There's not a lot of love lost.
But then, you got these, you know, this concentration camp story. So on the one hand, they want open borders and they want all these people to come in, right? And yet at the same time, their entire story is based on how awful the United States is. The worst ever.
Right.
The yeah. absolute worst ever.
Well, again, these are the same people who Trump is literally Hitler and only the police and military should own guns.
Right.
I saw a movie where only the police and military own guns. It was called Schindler's List. Perhaps you've seen it.
Yeah, it's and the oh man, I was going to go somewhere with that. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, the
they're full of the cognitive dissonance. That's for sure.
I want to circle back though on the whole. Alan, you nailed it with the conflation of legal and illegal immigration. They've been hammering on that, and it's obviously intentional, because if you support building a wall, you're a racist because you don't like immigrants.
Right.
And Trump's making inroads in the Hispanic communities. He's almost at 50% approval.
Yep.
Hmm.
And it's because they've been so adamant about conflating legal and illegal immigration that the people that have come here legally are like, screw you.
Yeah.
I sat in the lines and I paid the fees and I learned the lessons and I did all the things and I jumped through the hoops. It took me 10 goddamn years, cost me thousands mm-hmm. of dollars, but I did it legally. And you're saying, well, poof, we wave a magic wand and all of those people come in for free. It's a slap in the face to the people that want to be here and want to be citizens and want to be Americans. And they're proud to stand there at the ceremony and put their hands over their hearts and swear that they believe in the United States. It's a slap in the face. and more, I'd like to think more and more people are starting to wake up that what you're saying to all of the legal immigrants is, you're saps, you're idiots. You went and did everything legally. All you got to do is wait for the Democrats to wave the magic wand and poof. There you go. You did all that hard work, we'll just give it to you. Which, when you think about it, kind of the modus operandi of the Democratic Party. You don't need what? You don't need to work. We're going to give you a living wage. We're going to try luxury communism. That's probably one of my favorite things to come out of the left in the past 50 years. Luxury communism. Oh, we'll make it like Star Trek where you get everything. And I'm like, you know what the big problem with that is? Someone's got to make all that shit. And you forget that. You forget that your fucking triple latte doesn't just move itself into existence.
Right. Resources are not unlimited.
Right.
And, you know, that includes people and time.
Yep. And the coffee doesn't grow itself. The beans don't grow themselves. They don't pick themselves. They don't drive themselves to the store. They don't press themselves into your delicious coffee. They don't pour themselves in a cup. There are people and machines built by people at every fucking step of the way, which is why every time I hear there, oh, it's outrageous that a CEO makes this much money. Well, he keeps the company running, and the company employs a bunch of people, and it buys goods from a bunch of different companies that also employ a bunch of people. I would draw you a map, but I'm out of crayons. This is, and Alan, you are far more qualified than I to talk about this sort of thing, but it's basic. This is basic economics. This is the shit we learned Saturday mornings during the, what the hell were those things called? You know, the Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. Well, they don't do that anymore.
Watching Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
This is how shit works. I distinctly remember one. It wasn't Schoolhouse Rock. It was a Warner Brothers cartoon. It was a very Elmer Fudd-looking little elf who helped a shoemaker build his business. And they went into whole supply and demand and your supply chain. And I'm like totally geeking everyone out, aren't I?
No, but you're right. Yeah, but you know, the whole luxury socialism thing will never work because people's wants are unlimited and everything else is finite.
Right.
It will never work.
Because what does everyone want? Everyone wants a 10,000 square foot house with an indoor pool and 16 Ferraris in a garage.
Right. And tomorrow, if you gave them that, they'd want something else. I mean, people's wants are literally unlimited. There is no limit. They are infinite and untamable.
Where's my space shuttle?
Right. I mean, it can't be done. Now, what the Democrats see, they play this game where they say something and you think it means something, and what they mean by it is something else entirely.
Which I think is why they hate Trump so much, because he actually says stuff and means it. When he said he was going to build a wall, he's like, no, I'm going to build a wall.
Right. So when they say luxury socialism, what they mean is that there's going to be a few people that are rich, richer than anybody's ever been in the history of the world. And everybody else will live in a dome.
Right. Everyone else gets a 600 square foot tenement.
Right. And that's what they mean by luxury.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for AOC to get her first book deal.
It'll happen.
It's probably already in the works.
Yeah. It might be like a comic book or a children's book.
If Nancy Pelosi doesn't get her killed.
Coloring book.
Coloring book.
She's so dumb. Uh-oh. Well, it's 9 o'clock.
She has kind of dramatically lowered the bar for like how impressive it is that you became a congressperson.
Yeah, it is.
It used to be, wow, they must have gone out and campaigned hard.
Hank Johnson.
No, I think it was a setup.
Yeah.
Hang Johnson.
Maxine Waters.
To be over. Yeah.
You got a long history of morons in Congress.
You also have legs up Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you torturing that poor cat?
I am not.
That cat may not have eaten in as much as 25 minutes.
Well, you know, we'll leave. I got one more thing that we'll leave on.
Okay.
Mars is undergoing climate change.
It must be the people. All the greenhouse gases that they're creating.
I'm sure it's our fault. Yes. But Al Gore.
Yes.
I heard that Al Gore is giving a lot of money to SpaceX.
Oh.
Yeah, for the Mars rocket, so he can go there and sell carbon credits.
On that note, it's tomorrow's the first day of summer here. Happy solstice, everybody.
Yeah. And we have a heat warning in Houston.
We're having a heat warning, and I'm freezing.
Does this mean you can finally take the ice scraper out of the car?
No, that will never happen, Jay. That ice scraper lives in the car. You do not take it out.
Don't you Ohioans have like 150 different words for snow?
We do. It's 62 degrees here. It's been raining for like 2 weeks straight.
Oh, dear God.
We're not having... There is no summer this year.
Alan's going to laugh, but it was 96 degrees on my ride.
It's not snowing.
Mike says it's... Yeah, we already... Thank you, Mike. At least it's not snowing. That's true.
Today. Wait till tomorrow.
It could still snow. It's only June.
Jay is having summer, right?
Yes, we are full-fledged summer.
Alan is having full-blown,
Alan
inferno.
Is on the...
I'm having melt your face. It's the heat and the humidity. Oh, boy.
Alan is
we're not sure if we're having summer at all. So
there's no such thing as cold water anymore.
Season. Oh, no. Yeah, cold water season ended in, May.
I was seriously excited about global warming. I'm thinking, awesome, we'll have more summer and I can plant more plants in the backyard and nope. Not around here. It's not working out.
Nope.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week, everyone. And hopefully you'll enjoy it and tune in again.
Okay.
Don't touch that dial.
In squirrel time.
Alan, there's no dial. Oh, my God. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.